Hard-faced guards in slate-gray helmets pushed them along with the muzzles of long rifles. They walked down paths between countless huts. Beyond the buildings were the tall watchtowers, linked by high strands of coiled razor wire. Now the head of the column had reached double steel doors that opened into an underground bunker. Christy was standing at the side, near the blank-faced Ryan, and she could see inside. See the rows of chrome showerheads and the sluices and drains.
Everyone inside!
Flakes of something that resembled black snow were falling all over the camp, landing on the thin covering of snow. Christy rubbed at them as they brushed her clothes, and they had smudged and smeared, leaving a filthy trail in the material.
Ryan! No, don't go in!
Ryan vanished into the crowd, then reappeared again. He turned away from her entreaties, ignoring her. Finally, she saw only the back of his head as he vanished between the heavy double doors.
Close the doors!
Christy sat up in her bed, relieved she had only been dreaming. She walked across the room and pressed her forehead against the cold glass. There had been a mist on the river, wrapping itself around the shadowy buildings of the docks, shrouding the upper spars of the big sailing ships that waited to load or unload their cargoes. It was barely dawn, and Christy watched a black-painted ketch as it tacked across from east to west.
Yeah? Come in.
Greetings and salutations, my dear child. Mayhap this is to be the day when we shall receive some news of our lost companion.
Be good to hear. Looks like it's going to be a fine day.
Doc stared out of the window, watching as a large three-master was warped away from the bustling quay, its crew scurrying around on the deck to raise the sails and bring her out into the main current. The rising sun caught the gilt around the figurehead of a well-endowed blonde woman in a blue helmet, gripping a yellow trident. The captain stood foursquare on the quarter-deck with a brass trumpet.
Wonder where she's going and what she's carrying.
Perhaps outward bound across the bar, or for distant Ophir. Sandalwood, or a cargo of cheap tin trays. Who can say?
One day I'd like to sail away from Deathlands. I know so little about what's happened in the rest of the world over the last 100 years.
I suspect that I might have caught myself a small cold. The rest of the world, child? When I was an unwilling guest of the White Coats, I learned something of the rest of the planet. Simply put, it suffered more or less equally all around the Earth, Europe and Asia and Russia and even far-off Terra Australis Incognito. Nuclear destruction followed by the long winters. Followed by anarchy and mutations and a gradual return to a society similar to that of the Middle Ages. I fear that the entire world has become Deathland, my dear. The grass is most certainly no greener on the far side of the hill. Regrettably not.
Everywhere the same, Doc?
Yes, I believe so.
Still like to sail away one day. Ryan and me talked about it quite a few.
Oh, be of good cheer, my dear, and play the brave heart. Hope dies only after the last breath has been breathed, the final chapter written, the end credits rolled, and the fat lady has sung. I have never met a man of the ilk of Ryan Corder, and probably never will again. He is a titan among giants. If any man can survive, then it is Ryan. Let your hope still spring, Christy Roth.
Thanks, Doc. Love watching the activity on the docks.
Have you noticed that magnificent building over yonder? Virtually on the spit of land that juts out between the White and the Sippy? A baron of some wealth must have built it. That round tower. The view must be truly marvelous.
Yes, you can see the whole ville from there.
Christy shaded her eyes with her hand.
Caught a glint of the rising sun off glass. I think there's someone there with a telescope or binoculars. A great place to spy from.
Doc nodded, looking the other way upstream on the White.
There is a sturdy soul taking some early exercise in that small rowing boat. I wonder how far he has traveled this morning. The fellow looks a little fatigued.
Christy looked casually down. She looked away, not much interested in the oarsman, rowing wearily in the dawn toward the docks, almost immediately below the rooming house. Then she looked back at him again.
Doc!
The old man had noticed flecks of mud on his worn knee boots and had knelt to wipe them clean.
What is it, my dear?
He glanced up and found to his considerable surprise that he was alone in the room. Christy exploded through the front door of the Grits and Greetings. Turning left, her boot slipped on the dew-wet flags of the sidewalk. She recovered her balance and cut through a narrow alley and onto the dockside. The oarsman had moored his little boat and climbed up the flight of stone stairs onto the quay, his head emerging into sight just as Christy appeared. He saw her immediately and stood still, his hands at his sides, a broad grin slowly spreading across his face. She ran at him, slowing at the last moment, and threw herself into his arms. Ryan was still some way from being his old self, and he staggered backward, fighting for balance, narrowly avoiding going over and taking them both into the water.
Oh, Ryan! Oh.
She hugged him, feeling his loss of muscle tone as her arms clasped him tight. She eased herself down, her feet back on the cobbles.
Hello, lover.
They stood a yard apart, smiling and nodding at each other, neither able to believe the wonder of the moment. Christy bit her lip to hold back the tears.
You made it.
Yeah, looks like I did. Uh-huh. There are times I didn't think I was going to come through.
You look tired. All right, but tired.
Just rode half the way to get here. This is Twin Forks, isn't it?
Sure is. Prettiest little pest hole on the frontier. You name it and they got it. Or if they haven't got it, then they'll sure get it.
I was here years ago. Is everyone here? All of them all right?
All here. JB and Jack have jobs as sec men at a gaudy saloon called the Montana Queen. Had to get some Jack to pay for our rooms at the rooming house. Been here close on a week.
You saw me go over?
Yeah. Taking the bitch with you.
More like her taking me with her. The railing broke and over we went.
Look, don't tell me now. Only have to go through it again when we're with everyone else. Let's go get the others and we can eat.
You mean food?
Sure.
Real food? Real, honest to God, eatable food?
Promise. Hash joint around the corner called Toby's does the best all-day breakfast in the Ville.
At that moment, Doc appeared around the corner of the alley. His sight was notoriously poor, but he'd watched through the window of the bedroom, seeing Christy throw herself into the arms of the tall stranger who'd been rowing the boat. He had awakened the others, then made his best speed down to join the couple.
My dear, dear fellow. My dear, dear fellow. So good. We all prayed and we never lost hope. Always said that you would rise again like the phoenix from the flames, though, of course, it was a river and not fire that engulfed you. Oh, my dear, dear fellow.
The reunion was watched with great eagerness by two men in the round tower that Doc and Christy had noticed a few minutes earlier. One held the focusing knob on a large and costly telescope, his eye pressed to the cold metal. The other stared intently through a large pair of German pre-dark binoculars, fixed on a tripod for easier viewing. They had been waiting hopefully for this moment for several days, since their spies brought them news of the arrival in Twin Forks of Christy Roth, J.B. Dix, and the others. They'd been waiting for news of Ryan Cotter. They had an interest in Ryan from way back. The immensely fat man using the telescope was Gert Wolfram. His colleague, skeletally thin, was known by many names, the most common being the Magus. During the long morning and through into lunch, the tales were told on both sides. Ryan had spoken of the days and nights of deep coma, waking to find himself in the filthy hut of Patty Maxwell, and the adventures during the next few days, then the trip toward Twin Forks, and its tragic conclusion for Ryan's rescuer. Christy had told of their search and the encounter with the Stickies. Ryan leaned back in his chair.
Slavers using muties? Brings back memories of Wolfram and the Magus, doesn't it?
Names from the past.
Bad blood between you and them?
Goes back to Trader, Jack. Bad blood, though? Could you call it that, Ryan?
I don't much like picking at old wounds. Let's just say the things that Trader and JB and me did harmed both Wolfram and the Magus. Harmed them pretty bad. Have you actually heard that they're involved in the slaving?
Just rumors. But are you just going to leave it at that? Not tell us the whole...